You know, we've been talking about this part of the program being to help people, and that's why we've got Shane in here and Bill as well to help us. And the way that you get your questions to us on a regular basis here is simply by going to our email link, and that is the contact button that you will find on the toolbar at the top of every page of the Internet Advisor homepage. So if you go to internetadvisor.net, on the top right-hand side, you see a contact us button. In addition to that, at the bottom of every podcast, there's a comment page, and you can put your question in there as well. One of the people who sent us their query this week, a question that they have, was Pat Nagy, who is with us right now. Pat,
hello.
Thank you very much for joining us. Pat, how you doing?
Thanks for calling, Foster. Well, I wouldn't be doing good, otherwise I'd be calling.
That's right. Good point.
Yeah. Your problem is our opportunity to help you out. So let's see what the problem is you've been having.
Well, this has happened in the past, you know, maybe once every month or something like that. You try to open Outlook. I run Office 2010 on Windows 8.1, and this is from a desktop. I don't do the Windows side of the things, okay?
Okay.
I play games on that side, but other than that, I just work from a regular desktop. I'm old-fashioned. I try to open up Internet Explorer, and I get a message that says, cannot open your default email folders to file C:users, patent bird, documents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, cannot be opened. All right, and when this happened in the past, I rebooted the computer, and it came back no problem, okay? But now, this happened last night, or yesterday, before I sent you guys a note, and now I get the same message when I try to open up open up Outlook. I get this message, and I went on the Microsoft website, and there's so much information, you can't find your specific problem. Okay?
Yeah, sorting it out becomes a real challenge. Shameless.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same thing, Shane. It's hardware, software. Which is it?
Well, it's
a bug somewhere.
It's software. Okay. You know, there's something corrupt. I mean, I've seen it where even sometimes there's an email that came through that was corrupted, that was causing this problem in your personal data file. There's a lot of things you can do. You can run. You know, Office always comes with a repair tool. You can run a detect and repair and see if it finds something wrong with the install.
How do you do that? Detect and repair. I mean, I bought this computer. It's about three years old this Christmas, and I bought Office 2010, the whole package, and installed it. Okay, so
So where is the detect and repair?
If you go into, if you open up, Office or Word, I think it's over in the help section. See a repair option there.
Okay.
That's one option. To be totally honest with you, I haven't had a lot of success with that. It seems to take a long time, and then a lot of times it doesn't do the trick. If you're just having the problem with your Outlook, more than likely something in that personal data file is corrupted.
Can he reinstall Outlook?
That's what I was going to say. Okay. Go ahead and grab a copy of your PST file.
I'm a dummy.
No. That's okay. You know what? It all depends on where your PST file is located. You said you have, Office 2000? What's your...
2010.
Okay, and you have Windows... PST. Windows what?
8.1.
It's your Outlook data file is what it is. You have 2010?
Yeah.
So you have Office 2000. You have Office Windows 10, right?
Yep.
No, Windows 8.1.
Windows 8.1 and running Office 2010.
Okay. Do a quick search in your little search bar with your Windows for asterisk or star dot PST.
And that's three letters after the dot.
It's
a file extension.
It's a wild card search. It allows you to just search for that extension.
So what do? You say asterisk?
Asterisk, and then dot PST, Paul Sam Tango. And what it'll do is it'll search your whole computer for that PST file. You may find one or two, like a backup, and then Outlook be one of them. You'll see that file. That's the file that we're looking for.
Now, Pat, what we're going to have you do is just hang on, because we want to continue to unravel this, not only for you, but for a lot of other people who are having problems with this kind of thing. Bill may have some comments as well. So, Pat, we'll be right back in just a moment. We'll be continuing to see if we can unravel this problem with Outlook with Pat, our listener, in just a moment. I need to tip my hat to Mr. Eric Dortch, who's been doing a wonderful job behind the scenes here. He's the man on the other side of the glass, our engineer, who was. We've had a wild afternoon, and he's been doing a great job.
He just makes us look good, doesn't he?
I tell you what, he is herding all of the cats in the background and doing a marvelous job there. Okay, let's get back to our caller, Pat. Pat Nagy with us. Pat called, and he has a problem with an Outlook file, and he is running Windows 8.1 on a desktop on a three-year-old machine, and he's using Office 2010. And we're starting the repair process or hunting for ways of repairing this thing. Shane, you had some suggestions, and Bill, you had some thoughts as well.
Yeah, I had one thought also, and you mentioned it was Windows 8. There's actually a little thing that's been going on. It showed up on the web a little bit. We're about the best place to ask for things, but then the three of us will look on Google real fast and go, there it is. So I did find there's actually a couple spots where you can go in. If you take your Outlook icon, right-click on it, go to...
Just a second. Hold on. I tried, before we go any further, I tried this asterisk.pst file, but you can't access it because that's the file that's corrupt.
Oh, okay. You can look for access and then scan.pst. Scanpst.exe is, I think, that one you're looking for, right?
Shane? I was told that before you guys went to the commercial break to do asterisk.pst, they did a search for it, but you try to access the PST files and said it can't because that's the file that's corrupt.
Well, yeah, you don't want to click it or access it. You just want to see it. I want you to locate it. That's all I want you to do.
Yeah.
Okay, Pat, so just locate it. So you were able to locate the file.
Well, no. All I did was get the screen, and it's got our two email addresses, and that's all it pulls up, okay?
Okay.
It just got the little Outlook box and my one email address and my wife's email address. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to save your emails, you
right,
know, your folders
exactly,
and everything like
we're,
that.
We're trying to essentially do a backup of your emails so we have your emails and all the folders that are in there, Pat, so we don't lose
and
those.
The reason I'm having you wildcard search it because depending on your your version of Office and your version of Windows, it stores it in different locations. And you know, my PST, my file is called outlook.pst. That's my main Outlook folders and emails. It's in that file.
Okay, so you want to just find that, Pat. That's the key. Now, Bill, does what you're saying fit into that?
Sort of. There's actually one spot about Office 2010 in there. If you go down to Outlook for a second, right-click on it to go to Properties, you'll see a place where it says Open File Location. You want to do that. It'll point right to Outlook.exe. You can right-click on that, get Properties again.
No.
Didn't show
right
there.
Right-click on the icon, which is on the toolbar. Now you say there's read email message, new appointment, new meeting, new contact, new task.
Yeah.
Microsoft Outlook 2010 and unpinned from the taskbar.
Yeah,
that's all it says when you right-click it on the toolbar.
I think those instructions are for something that's not Windows 8 or I think it's like Windows 7 and below.
Yeah, I'm on Windows 10 here, but yeah, same problem. But in either case, where you want to find is the Outlook.exe. That's going to be C... program files x86 and then look for your Microsoft Office folder. And what you're looking for is a place where it says compatibility in the tab. When you get Properties on it, you want to make sure you turn off run this program in compatibility mode. That's the biggest one that I've seen show up on the web for that.
How does that make sense to you?
Well, like I said at the beginning, it could be several different things.
Okay.
And the easiest thing is just to back up your PST file,
right,
uninstall Office, and reinstall it.
Okay.
I mean, that's because we can go all day long saying, well, it could be this, it could be that, it
right,
could
exactly,
be this.
Right, exactly.
The easiest way...
I got to find a file to back up, and it won't let me access it.
Well, you don't want to access it.
No,
you
don't
wanna
access it.
I just want you to locate it. That's all I want you to do.
Yeah, okay. So like I said, I locate it. I go up to the right hand, and I pull it down, and I do a search, and I did a search for asterisk.pst,
mm-hmm,
and I did that, and it says, yeah, you got two files, right?
Okay, and what are they called?
That's what they're called. They're my email address, one of my email address, and one of my wife's email address.
Okay, those are the ones you want to save.
Okay.
Yeah, yep, so what Shane wants you to do is to copy those to someplace else.
Oh, are you listening, Pat? Because what we're trying to do now is then... save those.
We want to save them. We don't want to open them. We don't want to access them.
Don't open them or anything else like that.
We just want to copy them and save them somewhere.
Yeah, how are we going to do that?
Just highlight it.
Do you have a USB drive that you could save them off to?
Yeah, I just happen to have one plugged in, yeah.
You could also just save it to your desktop as well.
You could do that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
We just want to save it somewhere other than its current location.
Okay. How am I going to... Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm a dummy sometimes.
No, that's right.
I'm an old retired guy, okay? How am I going to save it? I mean, can I just drag it and put it on the desktop?
If you right-click on it, yeah. You can just copy it.
Yeah.
It says open file location when you right-click it.
Yeah, then that's probably not the correct file.
Right.
Well, I did.
No, that's fine. I'm just so I'm saying, I have a funny feeling it may be in a hidden directory. That's why this is not a very, it's not one of those things that we can just boom, boom, boom on the air and do.
Right.
Because they normally take those PS, those files, and they put them in a hidden directory.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, so you've got to unhide all your folders and files, and then you'll find it. Because
How do you step through that? How do you unhide?
Basically, if you go to search, I keep going to search because that's your friend. Search for someone that doesn't know a lot about computers, the search bar down at the bottom left corner is by your start menu is your friend.
Okay.
If you type in there folder options, you're going to see the folder options he's typing.
Folder options.
Okay, and when you see the folder options, a window will pop up then that will allow you to hide and unhide.
Yeah, you'll see when you type in folder options, folder space options, you'll see that option come up in your search.
It says, there's a folder option. There are three tabs, general view and search.
Yeah, you're just going to click on that folder options, and that's going to open. You'll see the general view and search, correct.
Yep.
The view, if you go to the view tab, right in the middle of that box there, you're going to see do not, or it says show hidden files. It's probably checked as do not show hidden files.
It's correct. It says don't show hidden files.
Right. Correct.
So now if you go to show hidden files and just apply that.
And all these faded icons.
And then once you hit apply, hit OK and just close out of that.
Okay.
Then you're done with. Now you're done with the folder options.
Okay, step is done, Pat.
That step is done.
Oh, I did something. Wow.
There's the hidden files.
There are all the hidden files suddenly. Now then, Shane, do we go back then and do that same search as before?
Yeah, now you can go into, like, say you go right into your C drive, and then you can go into your users folder, and we can step it into where that Outlook...
Or can he simply go back to the search?
He may be able to do that. I have a funny feeling the search is not working for him because he's typing something wrong.
Okay.
But if now that the files aren't hidden, depending on... Sometimes Outlook stores...
I'm sorry, I just closed the window by mistake.
That's all right. That's all right, Pat. One of the challenges, by the way, one of the challenges we have when we're helping people on the show is that if you're trying to step through this as we're doing it, we can run into things like I've got fumble fingers as well, where you suddenly hit the wrong thing. So hang on for just a moment, and we're going to run through some of these steps, and then what you can do is listen to the podcast and replay these steps as well. Go ahead,
Shane. And the nice thing with the podcast is you can stop it,
pause it,
do it, hit the go again and play the next step and pause it again.
So I'm not going to guide you wrong.
So here's what we're going to do, Pat. We're going to say goodbye to you this afternoon, but we're going to continue and try to wrap this up with some notes for you, okay? If you listen to the podcast, you'll be then able to hear all of those notes at the end of this. But I think we've done a lot of your homework for you already. I want to thank you, Pat, for giving us a call.
Just go over one last time, though, what we're trying to save his PST files, his data files.
Yeah, his PST, his personal data files is a file that stores all his folders, all his in-mail, his contacts, everything.
Yep.
We want to save that before we do
anything else. Reinstall.
Then we're going to uninstall, reinstall.
Yep.
Okay. And
good.
So it kind of becomes simple after that, but not quite so simple. In just a moment, we're going to be back with Dorothy. Dorothy has a question for us as well on filling in a form. Thank you so much for being with us here. And don't forget, your question can come through to us as well if you'll send us that contact at internetadvisor.net. Well, we had quite a time answering Pat Nagy's question. This last one was about something that had corrupted in his Outlook and was not allowing him to get at his mail. And I've heard Ed go through this before, and Shane, you were doing an admirable job along with Bill Carver trying to help him steer him in the right path. And probably the simplest thing, Shane, was the solution that you offered.
Yeah, basically, if you're just going to use a search and star, star.p PST. Once you've unhidden the folders, then you can kind of go into the actual the location where it is. Sometimes it's in your documents / Outlook. You'll see a folder in your documents called Outlook.
And that's what mine does.
And it's right in there. Or sometimes it's a little bit buried in into the users. You go into users and users and then app data or local settings. And then you'll find, eventually you'll find the Microsoft folder, then the Outlook folder, and it's in there. So it can get a little tricky on where to find that PST file. But once you have it, now if you have things like Carbonite and some of these others, right, they'll store that PST file for you automatically.
Yeah, I have Carbonite.
And that'll it'll back it up for you.
It's there already, so I don't have to worry about it.
Don't worry about it and don't find it. So that might be an easy way to do it. And then what we're going to do.
And by the way, that's step one, folk. All that meant to do was to make sure you have a copy so you don't lose your past emails and everything else.
And then basically what you're going to do is you're just going to uninstall your full Office suite and then reinstall it. And then basically what you'll do is just create your account, your email account again, just one more time, and then just import that old PST right on top of the new one that you just created, and that'll copy it all in there for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's probably the best way to do it.
Or just get a subscription to Office 365 and you never have to do this.
Right. Use web-based mail, and I tell people this all the time, use web-based mail, cloud mail, and you'll never have this problem again.
Excellent. That probably is the most important
thing.
That
is, yes.
And web-based mail would be like the Outlook.com or Gmail.
Gmail.
Or Office 365.
Or AOL.com.
Bill, were you going to add something to that?
Nope, I was going to say, totally agree with you there. Is, you know, if you have a place at Microsoft full of dedicated nerds 24 hours a day to watch your email, that's the best way to go.
That's the way to go.
They're pretty good.
All right, hey, let's go to Dorothy. Dorothy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Thanks for being so patient, but we did want to get to your question.
I have a form that I'm trying to fill out, and it's not a program. It was something that was typed up and saved.
Okay.
Now, how can I fill in the form without having the lines or chasing the words around in the lines? They just sort of push the line ahead of them.
I know what you mean.
So is this a Word document?
I would imagine, yes.
Does it say the document name is at the end, .doc?
No. This is a business, and they gave me a form to fill out that they made up there at the office.
Does it say .pdf?
No.
If you look up at the top when you have it open, it'll give
you the
file.
How did you get the form? Just quick, excuse me, Gary. How did you get the form again, from a business?
Yes.
How did you get it? Did you get it on your computer?
No, my son is helping me with my real estate business.
Ah, okay.
And he said, send this form out and fill in the names of the tenants.
Okay.
And that's what it is. So
and
it's something that they use all the time.
How did that form get to you then? Did it get to you on your computer?
He made up a bunch of the forms and emailed them to me.
Ah. Okay.
And so up at the top, when you open the form up, it should have the name of the form. Right at the top of the screen. And what we're interested in is the type of form. And the way you determine that is it's called the file extension. It's dot, and then whatever three letters come after that. So if it's a Word document, the two most likely would be Word, which would be a DOC.
Okay.
And the other one is PDF.
I know that. Okay.
Okay. And you do different things, so we need to know which form.
But what you've described, Dorothy, is something that I've run into and probably everybody else has. When you get a form that's in a Word format, when you go to fill in a blank on it, what it does is, she says, it just pushes the line around.
That's right. You end up in the margin.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So you just have to hit delete and delete the underlines, and it comes back.
Yeah, we've all dealt with that. Now, I want to suggest another way.
So it is probably a DOC.
Yeah,
it's probably
a document.
A word, then.
Okay.
Now, what I want to suggest is one of two things. You could have your son, you said, did this for you, right? Have him turn those into PDFs. PDFs. Now, I'll tell you why. Because when you fill in blanks on PDFs, my experience is you don't get that shifting going on.
Yeah, depending on what type of PDF he does. And if he just turns it into a normal PDF, you can't edit it at all. Oh, yeah, and that'll be a problem.
He has to be. He has to make it sure that it's writable. An editable or right. a writable PDF.
That's correct.
Okay.
And how difficult is that?
Not difficult. There are things you can go online and do that. There are. I have a piece of software on my computer that I use that turns Word documents into PDFs. And I would just tell your son, if you love your mother, turn these documents into PDFs.
Well, I mean, Word itself, if you go to Save As, you have the PDF option.
Yes,
right there, built
yes.
in. So you don't need any special program.
But
so
it has to be a
PDF
writable PDF.
PDF is the answer.
Yeah.
No, it has to be a writable PDF. So if you just tell him PDF, you won't be able to use it at all.
So it's a writable?
A writable PDF.
And, and if he doesn't have the right technology, he'll have to go online. Now, you can go online, and they're free. You can find the software package.
Okay.
But just tell him that your dear mom wants you to take this Word document and turn it into a writable PDF. And do you have any other thoughts, Bill?
There's one other thought. It's buried deep in the largest recesses of Office somewhere. It's actually a way to change the cursor from insert mode to overtype mode.
Oh, that's
a long, complicated thing.
I wondered if the word insight had something to do with it.
Yeah, but if you can have your son, who loves you very much, just look on the internet. Just Google Office Word overtype mode, and you'll get a bunch of pages with directions on how to turn that feature on.
There you go.
Wonderful. Well, so I appreciate it. You want to know what happened? When I called you, I waited online,
yes.
and I listened to the handyman. I was going to listen to him anyway.
There you go.
Good. He's good.
He is a good. So we are providing you with a handyman kind of solution here that you can get your son to look for. So the two things, one would be the PDF thing, but the other thing may be quite simpler. You can start working with the document you have right now. And again, Bill, what would you look for with the question?
Looking for overtype mode. It's just take the word over and the word type, put them together with the word mode after that, and you've got
overtype mode.
The secret to that. It's from way back when.
And Dorothy, will you please email us and let us know what happened with this?
You want me to send the form?
There you go. There you go. And you can also just let us know how it went with the transferring your Word document into something that you can fill in the blanks on.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're very
much.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Dorothy, our last caller here today. Just remind you, by the way, that on these days, matter of fact, throughout the sports season, very often we find ourselves in a place where we don't have that second hour of the program, which you normally have live, open for people to call in on WJR. And that's precisely the time when you can get hold of us through our email. And you do that by going to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and then in the upper right-hand corner along the toolbar there, you'll find the contact button. Click on that contact button, and you'll find an email form that comes down, and you can fill in your name and all the other information there. And by the way, you may find a line that says website. Put our website in there. That's all. internetadvisor.net. And you're all set. And then put in your question and send it to us. We love to answer them throughout the week, and we'll include them in our program on Saturday.
We love it. Yes, we do.
We do. Thank you so much, Shane, for coming in here and helping out today.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
We had a thorny one. Bill, thank you again for being here, too.
Oh, thanks for having me once again. Great place to spend my Saturday.
And Gary Baker, as always, good to have you, too.
And as always, it's a pleasure.
And don't forget, folks, on Sunday night, we will publish both hours of our podcast. And you can hear our conversation with our first guest was Sarah Mitroff, talking about three ways to get your hands in Office 2016. And then we talked with an interesting young man, Vincent Fiorentini, who has developed an app to help people who are colorblind like me to see colors now. And then also hear about our helping to people to answer their questions about problems they're having on the Internet. All that part of the Internet Advisor.